And I hope I have with me on the phone Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you?
Baruch Hashem, thank God. And how are you?
I'm good. I'm
what
good.
A significant time to be able to play those songs, especially on today.
Yeah, exactly. I had to look for them.
Very nice, beautiful.
Yeah.
Because today, Yom Yerushalayim is a special day, you know, regardless of what type of background a person is in Judaism. This means, you know, a lot to Jews as a whole, liberation of Jerusalem, the land that belongs to us. Which is actually very interesting because Shavuot is coming up very soon, and we're going to talk a little bit about Shavuot. We'll talk about a little bit about Ruth, whose grandson was David HaMelech, King David, who made that Jerusalem was his city, his capital. That's where you have, you know, the Star of David, so on and so forth. So there is a lot of this connection with the day of Yom Yerushalayim today and so on and so forth. And Shavuot. But first, you know, last night we had a beautiful women's event.
Yes, we were both not invited.
That is correct. You and I were not invited to it, which was a beautiful women's event. We had a very nice group of women that participated, that came. There was a little talk. My wife gave a little talk on Shavuot. Then they were able to get a presentation on different types of salads and the dressings that go into it, and it was great, beautiful salads. And then we had a nutritionist coming to talk about healthy way of life, different types of eatings, the different foods, so on and so forth. And we talked more as well as that, the physical food, and then we also have the spiritual food. So it was a phenomenal, beautiful event, and it's going to be another Chabad Women's Circle probably before Rosh Hashanah.
That we will probably not be invited to.
That we will not, correct. Yeah. I'm thinking we should absolutely start
men's
circle. I'm very much thinking about it, and I'm going to, you know, we're going to make it into a fruition. A men's club once a month or something. But anyway, this week is coming up. On Tuesday night is Shavuot, which the word Shavuot means weeks. It marks the completion of the 7-week counting period between Pesach, Passover, and Shavuot. The Torah was given by God to the Jewish people on Mount Sinai on Shavuot more than 3,300 years ago. So every year on the holiday of Shavuot, we renew our acceptance of God's gift, and God re-gives the Torah. Now, you know, there was a big argument between Moses and the angels, because God says he was going to give the Jews the Torah, and the angels came as Moses was ascending the mountain to receive the Torah. The angels asked God and said, hey, what is a human being doing amongst us? What is this individual coming to do to accept your Torah? The Torah does not belong to him. The Torah belongs to us. So he said to them, God said to them, this was the dialogue that was happening, he has come to receive the Torah. The angel said, this spiritual, esoteric treasure, which was hidden with you for so many hundreds of generations before the world was created, and you wish to give it to flesh and blood, to people, give it to us. God didn't answer. God said, Moses, answer them. So Moses said, this Torah that you're giving to me, what is it written on it? I am the Lord your God who has taken you out of the land of Egypt. He asked the angels, you descended into Egypt? Have you been slave to Pharaoh? Why should the Torah be yours? What else does it say? You shall have no other gods. Do you dwell amongst idol worshippers? What else? Remember the Shabbat. Do you work? Do not swear falsely. Do you do business?
Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Is there jealousy among you? Do you have an evil inclination? What are you talking about? How can the Torah be yours? The Torah was given to angels, to humans, not to angels. And we will have challenges in our lives. But with the Torah as our guide, we can overcome them. Now, the beauty of the Torah being given is we see that God spoke to the Ten Commandments in a great voice, which did not cease, as it says in the Torah. And the Medrash says, the divine voice at Sinai was unique in that it had no echo. You know, when you go outside, or when you go into the desert, or when you go into a hollow place, whatever it may be, you scream, and the echo bounces right back at you. Now, with this great voice that God had, this powerhouse, there was no echo. And the significance of no echo is that an echo is created when a sound meets with a substance which resists it. So instead of, this is science, this is not me, instead of absorbing its waves, the substance repels them, bouncing them back to the void. Now, prior to Sinai, the voice of Torah had an echo. There was nothing there to receive it. However, at Sinai, God rescinded the decree which had severed the heavens from the earth. He made it become one together. And the world could now fully absorb the divine voice. A physical object could now become one with its mission, with spirituality. So a person will think that, hey, what's the lesson for us? So there was no echoes. God is great, obviously. But our mission as a people, which we were entrusted at Sinai, is to implement the values and ideals of Torah in our world, to teach humanity that no matter what the conditions of a particular time or society might be, there is a transcendent, unequivocal, divinely ordained truth that we have to adhere to. The voice of the Ten Commandments had no echo because it permeated every object in the universe. Therefore, we have this mission to permeate the world that it should. Godliness, goodness, kindness, being good to humanity should not have an echo, because people should be able to, it should be an acceptant way. Torah has to permeate our lives and become one with us. And that's what the concept of that the Torah was given on Mount Sinai, that it was not, there was no echo. Now, there's many laws that go into Shavuot. But before we talk about the laws of Shavuot, we also read the famous book of Ruth.
Megillat Ruth.
Correct. Now, it's interesting, because who was Ruth? Ruth was a convert, and she converted to Judaism, and we see that her mother lost her husband and her kid, two of her sons, and she said that she was going to go back to Israel. She wanted to go back to Israel. And Orpah and Ruth, who were two of the daughters, said, Orpah said, no, I'm going back to Moab. I'm going to go and live with everyone else. Ruth said, I am going to follow you wherever you are. Wherever you go, I will go. And ultimately, we know that Ruth had a grandson whose name was King David.
Yeah.
Now, Shavuot is the birthday and Yahrzeit, the day of passing of King David. And the book of Ruth records his ancestry. And Ruth and her husband were King David's great-grandparents. It was a great-grandson. And if you look, and we see that King David, what was King David? King David was all about someone that started from nothing, wrote the psalm, prayed to God, made Jerusalem the main place for him.
Yeah.
That's why you have the Star of David. Therefore, Jerusalem has to be the undivided capital of Israel. Doesn't go back to 100 years. It goes back to hundreds and hundreds of years. And that is why we read the book of Ruth. It has a connection with, and today being Yom Yerushalayim, 50 years since the liberation of not the occupation or conquering, the liberation of Jerusalem back to the Jews was 50 years ago.
Yeah, 67.
Right. And so there's many Shavuot customs that we do. We learn, we stay up all night and learn as much as we can, which was a tikkun, fixing up for the Jews when they overslept. We eat a lot of dairy food, because, you know, with the giving of the Torah, the Jews now became obligated to observe the laws of kosher. Till then, they didn't have it.
Yeah.
And as the Torah was given on Shabbat, on Saturday, no cattle could be slaughtered, nor could anything, or utensils be kosher. And therefore, they had to eat dairy. We also learn that Torah is likened to milk. It's best kept in earthenware vessels, spoiled in gold and silver. Torah is taught best by the humble. It spoils in the hands of the people that have all the ego. Also, we learn Moses was drawn from water on the sixth day of Sivan and was only willing to nurse from a Jewish woman. And we also adorn the home. That's why we eat a lot of dairy products on Shavuot. We also adorn the home and synagogue with greenery and flowers to be able to remind us that even though Mount Sinai was situated, for example, in the desert, when the Torah was given, God caused the mountain to bloom and have flowers miraculously. And therefore, the Torah is beautiful, flowers is beautiful, and that's what we do. So that is, in short, about the lessons of Shavuot, and it's a very big mitzvah commandment to listen to the Ten Commandments on Shavuot day, Wednesday day. So if anyone wants a place to listen to the Ten Commandments and bring your kids, we have service at 9:30 Wednesday morning, followed by a dairy kiddush, followed by special ice cream just for the kids. And we make some exceptions for kid adults.
Mm-hmm.
But, so yeah, it's a beautiful holiday, and I hope I will see everyone at least. If you don't come to me, go to your synagogue you go to and listen to the Ten Commandments.
Yeah. Rabbi, services?
Services Friday evening, 7 o'clock. Shabbat morning, 9:30. Sunday, 8:15, followed by breakfast. And Monday and Thursday is at 7:15 at the Parrot House, a good way to start the day.
That's it. I want to wish you Shabbat Shalom and
you
great
too.
Weekend.
You too, and Chag Sameach.
And God willing, we'll have you next week on
God
the phone.
God willing,
again.
Yep.
Thank you.
I'll ask you how your cheesecake was next week.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
We'll see you. Bye-bye.